B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So I have a prediction. I know how you love those, Jimin. I have a prediction. Michael Bennett's going to have a hard time here.
No.
It ain't going to work. It may work on the field with the team. This is not, when I say here, I mean Boston. In this environment, in this sports environment. The team, he might fit, he might be fine, and like that, I'm not predicting on the field. I'm talking about the Michael Bennett experience in Boston. He's going to have a real hard time.
Yeah, no, I'm eager to see how that first discussion with Bill on politics goes.
So,
didn't you see that comment?
I feel better about him there.
Yeah, me
than
too.
I do in the world at large in Boston.
Yeah, some hammerhead is going to get drunk and yell at him at some bar or some event. That's
see what you mean.
That's my concern.
Here, so, yeah, so I'm not talking Foxborough. I'm talking about everywhere outside of Patriot Place. I think he's going to have a hard time.
Okay, when you said Boston, I thought you meant that the experience as a outspoken Patriot.
Well, maybe. Okay, but I'm less concerned about that. Because they do seem to figure that out pretty well, don't they?
Well, if that was truly an issue for the team, they wouldn't have made the trade. They wouldn't have been sniffing around him last year.
I think he's going to have a hard time with the likes of us, and I don't mean us specifically, but just the chattering classes in Boston.
Or maybe you do mean us specifically.
And definitely if he acts like a jackwagon, us, but not just us. Because people here care, they pay attention. There's enough angry dudes, angry politically bent dudes here that are going to pay attention and hold things against him. And it's just, this ain't Seattle. And it ain't like most places. The fans are super engaged and they super care. And I just think he's going to have a hard time. He's going to have a hard time. So he's an anthem sitter. He doesn't even, the clips I've seen, doesn't even kneel. He just sits on the bench. He also stays in the locker room. Well, apparently he's going to stay in the locker room here in New England as well. And he's already hashed this out. I'm just reading from the ESPN story. Bennett spoke at some sort of symposium last night at Princeton. He said the trade to New England initially surprised him. He was one of a core of NFL players who followed Colin Kaepernick's lead beginning in 2016 and protested during the playing of the national anthem. The protest agitated many fans and drew the ire of President Donald Trump, who condemned the protesting players and suggested they should be fired. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are both enthusiastic supporters of the president. In meetings with Patriots executives, Bennett said he would continue to remain in the locker room during the playing of the anthem. Quote, I explained to them is that my integrity means everything. There was just a misprint in that comment, so I wanted to say it properly. I explained to them my integrity means everything, Bennett said. I think they respect that about me. They respect who I am as an individual. He added, the Patriots have been trying to trade for me for 2 years. Last year they tried to get me. The year before they tried to get me. The story says now they have him. Bennett also said he was looking forward to engaging Belichick and Brady about their support of a president who is largely viewed to be hostile to the interests of people of color. I think it's important not to run away from those conversations or not hear their ideas about why they think the way they do, he said. I think it's an opportunity for growth to have those conversations, he added. If we don't allow ourselves to have those conversations, we're stunting our growth.
Oh, God. He's going to come in the locker room and he's going to talk politics? He's going to get my face about politics.
I'm sure that'll fall on deaf ears.
Oh, my God.
Or they'll have the conversation.
Oh, my God. We have to have this. So wait a minute. We have a new guy here. He voted for one guy. I voted for the other. Now he's going to get my face about, let's have a conversation about why you voted for who you voted for. Are you kidding me?
No, that's going to go well.
Oh, my God.
We're on to 2020.
Well, but can you think of anything more painful in the world than that? You voted for Hillary. He voted for Trump. We should really discuss our differences and talk about why you voted, and really hear it from my side why you voted. Oh, my God. Can I light myself on fire instead? Can I throw myself out this window instead of me sitting down and talking to you about your presidential vote or whatever? Please, for the love of Pete. Really? We're going to do this? He says, oh, my God. If I were Bill and Belichick, I'd say, oh, my God, please. Remind me when he's in the locker room. I'm going to leave. Bennett said he was looking forward to engaging Belichick and Brady about their support of a president who is largely viewed to be hostile to the interests of people of color. It's important not to run away from those conversations. Oh, God. You got, no, really? Oh, so here comes what? There's someone giving stump speeches in the locker room and trying to engage people on politics? That's great. No, great. Tremendous. Let's just do that all day, shall
we? Oh, God. Listen, the other thing is, I can't help but wonder if this guy just likes microphones. That's it. Because, again, on the one hand, he stands in front of this group and says, well, I was kind of surprised about this. I mean, you know, given the, I mean, they connected the dots, right, about the anthem and everything else. But then he says in the same breath, they've been trying to get me for 2 years. Well, then how the hell can you be surprised?
Exactly.
Like, so what exactly, I think he just likes to hear himself talk.
And the whole story about Brady and Belichick are enthusiastic supporters of the president. I mean, they might have voted for the guy. They like the guy, but
Brady certainly isn't.
They're buds. I think they're social buddies.
Yeah.
I don't know politically. I mean, Bill did write Trump that letter up in New Hampshire, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think he was pissed that Trump read it out loud, right?
Oh,
and,
really?
And I think. He felt that way.
And Brady had the MAGA hat in his locker.
Well, I know he's backtracked because...
But yeah, he didn't go to the White House after they won.
But that's economic. He doesn't want to...
Well, right, but he's basically played it down the middle since.
Exactly. He doesn't want to shut out half of his consumer base. So those guys become apolitical. As Michael Jordan used to say, Republicans buy shoes too.
Right.
So that's why you've got something to sell. You don't pick a side. That's why Brady doesn't pick a side, and he's super careful about that. I'm just talking about Bennett here. Bennett can't help himself. He's one of these guys that can't help himself. So he's going to sit in the locker room for an anthem here. He's going to come out on the field. Maybe he gets booed. Maybe he hears some chirping from the crowd, and then he's going to be asked about it after the game. He's not going to be able to help himself. He's going to fire back because that's just who he is. And then that's going to take on a cycle of its own. And then all the angry white dudes are going to fire back at him. And then he's going to fire at them. And it's going to be a thing. He's going to have a real hard time of it here because I don't think he can help himself. I mean, the Patriots protested last year or the year before, whenever
the hell
that was.
Two years ago.
And, all, you know, the way, you know, the McCourties are, you know, very serious about social justice as well and very serious about a lot of these same topics, but they handle themselves in such a professional and dignified manner. Like, I can't even remember what those guys said after that game, but they did. They spoke about it. They talked about why they did it and why it's important to them. And it didn't even create a ripple because they were so diplomatic about it and just professional about it that can anyone even remember what they said?
No.
No.
But they said, really, but no. They talked about it. Bennett, you're going to remember what he says because he's just this way. And he's going to have a hard time here.
Yeah, so look, I don't know. Maybe this is something that crops up during camp and they cut his ass and they don't have to pay him and that's it. I mean, I'm thinking out loud here. I don't know, because the money isn't guaranteed till week one, right?
That's right.
So they'll have him in camp, give it a trial run, and if he can't keep his mouth shut, he's gone.
Bennett is the author of Things That Make White People Uncomfortable, something I've tried to order on Amazon. Like, it's backloaded. How will the Patriots fan base respond to what Bennett does on the field and says away from it? Like, this is it. Like, how is that going to play in Boston? Well, we've come a long way, but all the way? Bennett is, again, Things That Make White People Uncomfortable. How will the Patriots fan base respond to that? Let me have a few guesses. How will they respond to what Bennett does on the field and says away from it? Quote, those conversations will present themselves, Bennett said. I think it's going to be really unique. Excellent word, Michael. Excellent word. It'll be unique, all right. It'll be unique. It ain't going to work. He's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, there'll be some outliers, but any rational thinking person isn't going to give him a hard time or be screaming, you know, racial epithets at the guy as long as he produces on the field, I feel like. You know, like, I don't think we're a bunch of troglodytes around here.
I don't know. You know what? I got to see how this one goes.
I mean, didn't the guys that kneel that day in that game? So it was against Houston, right?
It was Houston.
Season opener 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was Labor Day week. It was really hot.
Didn't those guys get booed?
Yeah, they did, yeah. I was in the stands that day, yeah.
But that lusty was, booing.
Yeah, no, fans were on him. They were pissed.
That thing was at a fever pitch that weekend. You had the president on Twitter saying, you know, and at wherever there was, at the rally calling them, what did he say?
He said they should be fired.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Sons of bitches. Like, that thing was at, like, you know, at a boiling point that weekend. I just think that was kind of a microcosm of the whole thing at that time. Now, again, I don't think any rational person really gives a damn about this. People kneeled and sat in the locker room last year, and you didn't hear a damn thing about it.
Doesn't happen here.
Well, but the other thing is now guys are staying in the locker room.
Not here. Until now.
Well, okay, but even so, my point is he won't be on the sideline, I think. You never know. Kneeling so that fans can actually see it and yell at him while it's going on.
I understand, but then he has to come out on the field.
Yeah.
I'm just curious how that's going to go. And I'm not even talking about racial epithets. I mean, I hope we're all past that. Like, that's not even on the table. I'm just talking about him getting a lot of criticism for it. A lot of criticism.
The only thing I'll say is...
And then how does he respond to it? And does his response make it better or worse? So I don't see it work. Away from Gillette, I don't see it working for him here.
So look, it's going to be unique.
Unique.
To say the least. It is going to be unique. However, I didn't think there was a prayer of them shutting up Ocho Cinco when they did.
Fair enough, but he wasn't political.
No, I understand
that. He was just a clown.
Okay, but he loved to talk. Loved to talk and couldn't help himself to talk, or so I thought.
We don't like pain in the asses whether it's political or not, frankly. I mean, Kyrie has got, how much grief does he get just for his ups and downs and his moods and his pain in the assery? And that doesn't play well with a lot of fans. Never mind, then you throw race and politics on top of it, and it's like, oh, God, here we go. We're going to have to do this? And, boy, the part about, yeah, he can't wait to have those conversations with Bill and Brady. I'd be like, Michael, can we just please spare me? Spare me this. I don't want to talk politics.
So, look, I'm, you know, I think the guy has the potential to be a major problem in the locker room, okay? But I also think that if that happens, they'll cut his ass, and that's it. They'll be done with him because they just don't tolerate that sort of stuff. I don't think. At least not historically. So, but everything you're saying, I mean, it's impossible to argue. His reputation is what it is. Like, I just look at him, and I've made the mistake with some of the guys down there. Martellus Bennett, I thought was going to come in and be a problem. He wasn't. Ocho Cinco, I thought, wouldn't shut up.
Oh, no, there's a lot of guys.
He did.
Doesn't this guy break the mold a little bit?
Yes, he's a little different.
He's tougher than most.
He's a little more, you know, aggressive than the others. So it does. It feels different. It feels different. But again, down there, I don't know what it is, man. You walk in the door and they hypnotize you or what? I don't know what it is, but somehow before you know it, you're just spewing the company line.
Okay, so there's the Bennett thought. We continue with yours right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady's under center. He taps Stork and the Seahawks encroach. Tom Brady got Seattle to jump. The Seahawks overly aggressive.
They jumped.
And Tom Brady buys some room.
Encroachment.
Take it back.
Defense number 72. 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
Seattle does have the one timeout left. 20 seconds to go. Brady back under center. Tom has the snap, and Brady drops to his knee. 18 seconds. Timeout. Seahawks.
Classless group.
Back
Seattle
pushing
Seahawks.
And shoving. Seahawks, and boy, you got a couple of Seahawks out there.
Classless.
Michael Bennett among them.
Get him out.
What a classless. Instigating what results in a melee in the end zone.
No class.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired!
The Eagles are working on a deal to send Michael Bennett to New England. According to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, the Patriots were a finalist last year in landing Bennett, and they're on the way to making it actually happen. Bennett on Good Morning Football today said,
I'm not willing to take a pay cut. I actually want a pay raise at this point. And so whatever happens, just to know, whatever team I go to, I want to get paid more than what I'm getting paid right now.
Michael Bennett, Boston, ain't Philly. It ain't, Philly yet has this reputation. I don't know. I think it's even worse here. Just being with those Philadelphia folks during the Super Bowl a couple years ago, they're way more honky than we are. Well, I mean by honkish,
super fans.
Super fanish. Thank you. Sorry. A little easier on their teams than we are. They're honks. And it certainly ain't Seattle. So we'll see how Michael Bennett plays here. We got this. We still got Kyrie Irving on the board, Patriots and free agency, all of it with your calls. Phil and Rivera. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, guys, I think with Bennett, people see how he gets after the quarterback and disrupts the pocket, it ain't going to be a problem. They'll be cheering him on. And as far as letting Trent Brown go and everything, they got to protect Brady. I mean, he's at the back end of his career. I don't know how much longer he's got, what he got in the tank. What they did this year in the playoffs was a miracle. I didn't think the defense had it in them, but they got to. And if they can get Earl Thomas on the safety and get rid of McCourty, that's saving a lot of money there. So
okay, well, they're not getting rid of McCourty. To me, my dream would be to add on, have him replace Patrick Chung, but it's a pipe dream. They're not going to. Just a pipe dream. I think he'd be a fun guy to see here. The thing about the left tackle spot, they are, you know, there's a risk there. I'm trying to remember how it timed out. When Light retired and Nate Solder, was Nate Solder here for a year? Did Solder play?
I think he started as a rookie, didn't he?
Did he start as a rookie at left tackle?
That's my recollection, but I'll look it up.
Was that the left tackle or right tackle? That's just what I can't remember. Was there one year where Light and Solder crossed over and Solder played on the right side? That's just, but.
Solder's rookie year of 2011, he started 13 games and played 16.
Does it say left or right?
It says right tackle, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, was Matt Light still there in 2000? So
good question.
So there might have been. I don't want to talk and look it up at the same time. I thought there might have been some crossover. If you're going straight from, Nate Solder, who was very good for you, to Trent Brown, who was excellent for 1 year, to a rookie guard, there's some risk there.
Yeah, Light was still there in 2011.
Okay, so they had a year sort of crossover there. Mm-hmm. Wynn is basically call him a redshirt freshman, who's not really a tackle. That's a lot. Keep an eye on that.
No, they're going to need to get another guy there. But Reese had something yesterday about how, because Adrian Waddle's a free agent too. He's their swing tackle. I don't know if this increases their need to keep Adrian Waddle, but how do you feel about that as a backup plan at left tackle?
Don't love it.
No, not good enough. You got to do something better than that.
I know Dante Scarnecchia is good. Is he that good? Ross and Bill Ricka. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I really don't think Bennett's going to be as big of a problem because, as you said before, I mean, he's coming from Philly. And as you said before, in the pictures of, the evolution, there's the upright human.
I understand.
And there's the walking monkey. And then there's the Philadelphia Phillies Eagles fan. So I think, the Patriots are somewhere in between the monkey and the Eagles fan. But I think we're still a little bit more, cognizant and forgiving, especially if he performs on the field. I think it's not going to be a problem. They're addressing it now, and I think they're really going to be fine moving on.
Okay. I mean, we'll see. I think the Philly fan and the Boston fan is different. I think we care more. I mean, I'm not saying they don't care in Philly, but we take it to another level here. And maybe because we've won so much here, we diverted our attention to other things because it's not just, I mean, it's winning's really important. I mean, if Philadelphia was so horny for a championship that I think they could forgive anything.
Sure.
I think we might be a little less forgiving if we don't like our guys.
No, because we've reached a point where we're so spoiled we do. We want it all. You want the championship and you want the good teammate and everything on top of it too.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, just those Patriots 2 years ago taking a knee got you all pissed off. They got you all pissed off. And they did it once and they didn't really even say anything about it. And they were pretty respectful about the whole damn thing, and you got all sorts of bent out of shape. What happens when a guy comes in here, doesn't even deign to come out of the locker room, and then talks about it? And, probably goes too far because he's like a lot of us. He gets fired up and probably goes too far, and now we have a back and forth.
Now you'll have your stereotypical pissed off law and order dads that'll want to make a thing out of it, but I just think that that'll be a handful of folks. Most people, especially if he produces, will be fine with him here. I don't think it's going to be that big of a thing. I really don't.
Okay, we'll see.
Boy, and if it is, I'll lap up that chaos like you don't believe. Because good. Because if, who cares about this at this point? It wasn't a thing, and guys were doing this last year. We had all kind of, moved on, so I thought.
I mean, he is going to challenge a lot of their beliefs, though, as much as anyone that's ever come through there. Because usually a lot of the guys that come through there are leveraged in some way, right? They're either near the end and not playing well, and they need, or they're playing for a contract, or this guy feels to me like he's outspoken, still playing well. He's got some money the next couple of years. Like, he has won. There's not a lot to keep him in line.
Jesus in Salem. Go ahead, Jesus.
Hey, guys, so here's the deal. Kyrie is now the coach. He is now the coach of the Boston Celtics. Did you guys hear the post-game comments after the Lakers win? Lakers asked him about the flight over to California. And I quote, Kyrie answered, I did some coaching on the plane myself. I helped.
So your phone's breaking up. He's LeBron. And he did. He said that the walk-off with ABC after the Saturday night game, I did some coaching. I helped Brad with the coaching on the plane on the way out. And he said it with kind of a chuckle, but I don't think he was joking.
This guy's ego, there's no way he was joking.
I'm probably reading too much into it, but I love doing it with this guy. He catches himself. First he says Brad, then he says Coach Stevens. Because when he says Brad, to me, when I hear that, he looks at him as an equal. There's no hierarchy there. He's on the same level as me. In fact, I'm probably a better coach than Brad.
And again, the comment last night where he's asked about the Clippers. Nothing to do with coaching. He's just asked about the Clippers and his thoughts on the LA Clippers being so good and, you know, surpassing expectations. And he goes on this thing about Doc Rivers. Again, he's asked about the Clippers. He says, quote, it's so easy to play for a guy that's been a player in this league. He's won a championship and he's done unbelievable things in this league for his players. And he goes on like that, which is just hard to, I know we're giving it the Felger and Mass treatment a little bit, but it feels like, I don't know, it's hard not to think, is there some sort of comment there about his own coach in there?
Put it in the processor.
Sorry, can't help myself on that one. That one was too obvious. Brandon in Linfield. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on?
What do you got?
All right, Michael Bennett trade. I really love it, especially with Trey Flowers going off to Detroit, going back with Matt Patricia. I think Bennett's going to work, even if it's in a rotation with guys like Dietrich Wise, Derek Rivers. But, I mean, I just hate listening to you say it, set me on fire, spare me of the politics. He doesn't want to talk to the media about the politics. I think, if anything, it's good that a guy with a bad track record like he has is open to talking with Belichick and Brady about things like politics. He wants to be involved in this in New England. Don't say at me, Felger. You know I'm right.
No. Oh, my God. Anyone who comes up to me and tries to talk politics? Hang up. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you.
Another insufferable person. I want to talk about politics with you. Please, let me just turn around and walk away.
Is there a new employee coming in here? He says, you know what? Who'd you vote for? Have you really thought about your choices there? Do you understand about
the other? Please.
Oh, my God, would you please?
Stop.
Oh, my God, what are you doing?
That's the worst thing you can do is, like, you know, you're sitting there at the bar after the end of the day and someone starts up with that.
We were just sitting here relaxing. We were fine. And then now you got to do this? Please, do that on your own time. So that's what Bennett's going to do in the locker room and out? Oh, good luck.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, my God. Insufferable.
How about that on the practice field? Hey, coach, what do you think about Trump? Oh, that's going to work real well.
And so in the ESPN story, it says Belichick and Brady are enthusiastic supporters of the president. I'm not sure how much that's true, but just, you know, go on that premise. Because certainly they were outwardly supportive of him for a time. So in meetings with the Patriots, Bennett has said he would continue to remain in the locker room during the playing of the anthem. I explained to them that my integrity means everything. I think they respect that about me. They respect who I am as an individual. He said he looks forward to engaging Belichick and Brady about their support of a president who's largely viewed to be hostile to the interests of people of color. Oh, God. He's looking forward to engaging Belichick and Brady on their support of the president. Oh, brother. Really? I look forward to engaging you on politics. Please let me throw myself off this tall building now before I have any engagement from you on your political views.
No, that's right. Michael, see that lighthouse up there? Go jump off it.
Oh, just painful. We have something. We have a Red Sox minute coming up for you.
Oh, good.
You want to just a little quick little 2-3 minutes on the Red Sox?
Sure. Yeah. No. I'll do that.
We haven't hit on them once this entire week.
Yeah. I made little notes right here.
I know it's only
some
Tuesday.
Very good numbers for you.
But we got something for you right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, Red Sox Minute. What do we got, Maz?
Okay, so first of all, the I saw this tweet by Jason Mastrodonato the other day. Mastrodonato's with the Athletic now, I think so, just to give him proper credit. That's all. And he went over, and this was going into yesterday. Going into yesterday, the vaunted Red Sox bullpen this spring. Oh, my God, I'm just giggling with delight. Just, we haven't even started yet. I can't contain myself for crying out loud. Let me just give you the stats that Mastrodonato had in his tweet the other day. Okay, beginning with Matt Barnes, one inning, four runs, ERA 36.00. S-U-C-K-S. Sucks. Tyler Thornburg, four innings, seven earned runs, ERA 15.75.
Suck, 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 suck.
Brandon Workman, five innings, four runs, 7.20 ERA.
As we like to say in this program, suck, suck, suck.
Just wanted to make that clear. Hector Velasquez, 6 2/3, eight runs, 10.80. Not good.
It sucks.
Brian Johnson, 3 1/3, four runs. Like Velasquez, 10.80. S-U-C-K-S. Sucks. Colton Brewer, remember him?
Barely.
The secret weapon.
Oh, yeah, no. The spin rate.
Yeah.
He's got the high spin rate.
Yep, spin rate Brewer. Colton spin rate Brewer, the secret weapon, the stealth setup man. Five innings, four runs, 7.20.
Yep, he sucks and blows. I'll concur with you on that.
And then Roberto Mejia. I think it's Roberto. I might get the first name wrong.
The PED guy from the Mets.
Yeah, this is the guy that got popped for steroids from the Mets. Hasn't pitched in organized baseball, really, for some time.
And obviously hasn't been taking them.
Correct. Three innings, two runs. He's one of the better ones. 6.00 ERA.
Suck, 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 and suck.
Right across the board. The entire Red Sox relief corps, 41 innings, 34 runs in spring training.
It sucks.
They have been garbage. They have been complete, total garbage. And I don't think they're getting any help.
And who hasn't even pitched?
The starters haven't pitched much, but I did not include Pointer and Walden, who've both been pretty good because they didn't fit the argument.
Okay, very good. Perfect. I thought you said, I thought there were a couple guys. Who was the guy with the pinky?
Oh, Brazier hasn't pitched.
Yeah, Brazier.
Pitched. That's right. So Brazier hasn't pitched yet because he's been hurt.
He has a pinky.
Yeah, and it's on his toe.
Pinky toe, right. Pinky toe thing.
Right, right. So he has missed time as well. But if you were concerned about the Red Sox bullpen going in, there is absolutely nothing that has happened to change your mind. Mm. And, oh, by the way, they have the worst record in the Grapefruit
League.
Okay,
so I was just going to say.
Suck. Suck. Just wanted to make that clear.
Might have to get the WD-40 for a certain wheel that hasn't been in use in about five months.
Spin it, Murray. Spin it.
It sucks.
Ordinarily, we wouldn't do this because spring training is for, you know, paying attention to spring training stats is for fools.
Correct.
It is. It's just not. Guys are working on pitches. They're not even trying to get you out. They're headed off to the golf course by the third inning, et cetera, for all the reasons we all know. Except. Last year, the Red Sox made a point to tell us how good they were in spring training, how what they laid the foundation for the regular season, occurred in spring training, and they came out of spring training with Alex Cora like boasting, like bragging about their spring training record, and then at the end of the year, he went back to it and said, "You guys laughed at me when I said we were such a good spring team, but we laid the foundation, and now look at us now. Suck on it." So Alex Cora put stock in it, was proud of it, and put it in people's faces on more than one occasion how good they were in spring. So if that's the baseline, thank you, excellent. If that's the baseline, if that's what we're doing now, then I'm just following your lead, Skip. We now pay attention to the spring training record.
The worst in the Grapefruit League, worst in Florida.
Second worst in all of baseball. Only the Cincinnati Reds are worse, and they're in the Cactus League.
It sucks.
I mean, really, they've been awful in the early part of spring. And I'm not sitting here telling you this is a harbinger of things to come. I'm just saying that last year they wanted to let us know that they did well at spring training. This year it's been garbage across the board. I've said this about the Patriots in the past too. They're having a bad preseason. Now look,
I love those bad Patriots preseasons.
So you.
Those are productive. They are. You really pile on. It's I love those.
So if you want to defend them, the right answer is, well, look, you know, A, the games don't mean anything, which we all know, and B, none of their regular pitchers have really started going yet. I mean, Sale hasn't been in a game, simulated game, et cetera, et cetera.
But they're trying to get their bullpen in order.
Correct.
Like, they're giving those guys swings.
Yeah, so the bullpen to me is an area where you can legitimately have concern because of the personnel losses and the inexperience of the guys that they have in key roles, right? Because none of those guys have been in a big spot. But if you were worried about that bullpen before spring training, there has been nothing that has happened down there that should alleviate your concerns about the bullpen. That looks like a major, major issue right now. Okay, we'll see what it looks like when the season starts. There are a lot of bad teams there, but they look weaker than they were a year ago, and we know what it was in the second half of last year. Regular season now.
In a word, it has
sucked.
Yeah. In a word.
Suck, 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 suck.
Alan in Florida, your thoughts?
Yeah, before I start, I just want to say, I don't think it's fair to call Brady a buddy of that so-called. I won't even mention his name. Makes me sick. But I wouldn't call him a buddy. Anyway, I agree with some of you say, but don't let the truth get into a about a good story. Last year, Alex Cora was a new manager, and they wanted to get things going. And this year, they had Price pitched the first time. Sale hasn't pitched yet. Now we're getting to the bullpen. It's a major, major, almost, I call it a catastrophe.
Wow, Alan.
Right now.
I'm surprised to hear you say that.
Well, because it's a fact. I mean, I like to deal with the truth, you know. I mean, I wouldn't kiss Kyrie's Irving. I'd rather go and kiss a donkey's ass before I'd kiss his ass. But then, you know, he makes me sick. But anyway, I don't understand if you're going to pay Evaldi money and you're going to even pay Pierce money, you know, that I don't think I would have done. But anyway, not to even now I wouldn't have signed Kibrel. I know Maz doesn't like him, but I wouldn't have signed him to a long-term contract. But now
he's still out
to
there.
Try and grab him for 1 year. I mean, you got to do something. This is ridiculous.
Okay, Alan, thanks for the urgency in March. We need it. And by the way, the Brady Trump thing, I'm sorry, I think that's all they are, buddies. I don't know if Brady supports him politically. I think he likes partying and hanging out with Donald. Has in the past. They're only buddies, I think. But either way, on the Red Sox, they're probably going to sign Chris Sale to an extension, but they're not going to announce it till after the opening day because that doesn't count on this year's luxury tax, right?
Right. I mean, I think that's where it's headed. It feels like Henry said early on in camp that, and Dombrowski's made some comments akin to that since, that they're not worried about the commitment to Sale.
My point is, could they be doing something similar with the bullpen, waiting till after opening day so it doesn't hit on this year's luxury tax? Can they do that? Can they re-sign Kimbrel the first week of the season and have it not count on the luxury tax?
No, because the money goes to this year. In the case of Sale, the extension would be right. The Sale extension would begin in 2020.
Then why does it matter when they announce it?
Because if you announce it after opening day, the AAV for this deal stays intact.
Got it.
And he counts 15. If you announce it before and it's all added together, the AAV goes up and it takes you closer to the luxury tax threshold.
Got it.
So they'll wait. They'll wait if there's a new deal for anybody that's on the roster. But anyone that they bring in will affect this year's payroll. So look, and I think honestly, I think that's a big reason their bullpen is where it is. As much as the Red Sox can tell us that they don't want Kimbrel back or they're comfortable with the people they have, all of which may also be true. The other element is that they are pretty close to that $246 million luxury tax threshold, and that's the high one.
Yeah.
That they eclipsed last year was 237. It went up to 246. When I did the math a couple of weeks ago, I had them around 240, 242. Like, they're up there. So I think you're going to see some sort of move here at the end of camp where they shave a little bit of money. And I don't know if it's a couple million, 4 million. I have no idea. But there's something coming because they're too close to it.
You can weigh in on the Red Sox right there. There's your Red Sox Minute. We got a lot of football, Michael Bennett and the Patriots in free agency. We'll reset our Celtics top thoughts as well, coming up in our long commercial-free segment next.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean, it went well. I think the work we did and the when we went on the road, the guys staying back, especially in the infielders, was great. Bruce, Ramon, also Andy, they help a lot. We got better defensively throughout the spring. Records doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We could be 9-21, although people probably go nuts if that was the case.
That's just replaying the quote. That's Alex Cora coming out of spring training last year. How are you feeling? Other than the best record in baseball, they counted it last year. Not supposed to count it this year? That's just your Red Sox thought. A little annoying Red Sox thought for you. And it, pretty much every guy they throw out there in the bullpen has sucked. Pretty much everyone. Except for who was okay that we didn't include in there?
Pointer and Walden.
Okay. I don't know who Walden is.
Me neither. He pitched from last year, but I can't remember what his first name is. Marcus, maybe?
Okay. Never
this guy
sign.
Sucks. We know Buck Hill sucks. Porcello sucks. Blah, 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 blah. Give us a call.
That's pretty much it, Rochy. So there was your Red Sox thought. Just resetting our Kyrie Irving thought. Mine is, I hope he was in a good mood on the plane coming back. Did anyone check in with Kyrie? How's he feeling? Because when he's happy, they're happy. When he's sad, they're sad. And when he's engaged, they seem to be pretty good. And when he's not, they're kind of scared. And that's what this has turned into. And the big, you know, the big epiphany the team had, the big change they had going out there to California was that Kyrie actually decided to be nice to the guys on the plane. That's everything I gather from what I've read and heard. They deigned to take out the earbuds and actually talk to guys and maybe apologize along the way when they got up there and really started talking. But basically it started with Kyrie. And a lot of guys said that during that trip to California. You know, Marcus Morris was asked point blank, what's been the change? And this was before last night's debacle. You know, what's been the change? And he says, well, go ask that guy right there, pointing directly at Kyrie Irving and saying, you know, ask that man right there. His energy has just taken us to another level. He's been great for us. Everybody's been talking about how he won out and all this other bleep, but he's been great for us, a great leader. And so there were, you know, other comments like that. Terry Rozier told NBC Sports Boston, Kyrie's our leader. And when he's in a great mood and he's feeling good, we're hard to beat and it's contagious. It rubs off on everyone. Sometimes when he's not like that, it can get everybody uptight. So the way he's been acting has been great and it's been good for us. So again, we were all at the mercy of Kyrie Irving's menstrual cycle, Murray. I hope that's not too offensive, but that's sort of what it feels like. We're just at the whim. The team is at the whims of his moods and at the mercy of his moods. He comes into the stadium last Sunday against Houston. I hate this effing crap. I can't wait for this to be over with that scowl on his face and that look on his puss and that miserable, horrible attitude. And of course,
yeah, just it ruins the whole atmosphere.
It rubs off on the team and they just lay a wet fart and don't even show up for the game. Then he goes out to California, decides to open up on the plane, be a decent guy, talk to the guys. The next thing you know, free and easy. And so it's like, here we go. So how's Kyrie feeling today? And again, hard way to live. But the bigger question is, do you trust it? Do you trust Kyrie Irving, who really did feel to have, you know, an epiphany out there and really had a change of heart? Do you trust him to stay that way? He had a great comment yesterday, really just a tremendous comment to Yahoo Sports.
And you don't mean that facetiously. You mean
No. Like he may have said the best thing he's ever said.
It was one of the more human things he said since he's been with the Celtics.
As a Celtic, he said this, or it was posted yesterday on Yahoo Sports. He said, the way I've handled things, it hasn't been perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes, and I take full responsibility for. I apologize. I haven't done it perfectly. I haven't said the right things all the time. I don't want to sit on a place like I'm on a pedestal from anybody. I'm a normal human being that makes mistakes. For me, I think because of how fixated I was on trying to prove other people wrong, I got into a lot of habits that were bad, like reading stuff and reacting emotionally. That's just not who I am. Like, tremendous, perfect. That's contrition and shows self-reflection. And no, I'm not being sarcastic at all. Great quote.
It shows growth.
Great sentiment. Okay, tremendous. But that's today. A week ago, or whenever that Houston game was, just a week ago, right? A week ago, it was like, I can't stand this crap. I can't wait. Walking into the stadium before he even set foot in the locker room or bounced a basketball. I hate this. Can't wait for this to be over. So that's 1 week, and now here we are the next week, and it's like, you know, just tremendous self-enlightenment. And it's like, well, do you trust him to stay here in this place where he is right now with this great quote? Do you trust it?
No. And so this is my thing. What's the reasoning behind it? And again, kudos to him for having this epiphany and apologizing to the teammates and to everyone else around here, because the latter to me wasn't necessary. But what's the real reason behind it? Is it that he had this moment of self-discovery and he realized this is the best situation for him here with the Celtics and he's going to stay beyond the summer? Or is it because he's realized, you know what, I got 2 or 3 months left here. Let's just make the best of it, and it'll make it easier for me and the coach and my teammates, and then I can go to New York. Rather than being a pill and a pain in the ass, it's just easiest for me and everybody else. Maybe we can make a deep run, too. You know what? I'll be the better man here. I'll show up. I'll be happy. I won't be an a-hole. Got only a couple of months to go, and then I can ride off into the sunset. And I tend to think it's that.
Okay, so
just based on it, because
no, Murray, the motivation is important. It's the most important thing. What where is he leaning? Of course, whatever the motivation, do you trust for him to stay on the happy side of things here down the stretch?
No,
because boy, is he up and down. And if the team, and again, those Terry Rozier comments to me reflect poorly on the kids too. And I know you kind of disagree with that, Maz, but it's like when he's happy, we're happy, and when he's uptight, it rubs off on the team, and you know everybody's uptight. Not exactly grit and balls, as I said earlier. You're not exactly just going to go out there and do our job and compete. It's how's Kyrie feeling?
No, I'm just telling you though that this is what young guys are. This is why young guys need to be led, because by definition they are more emotional, they are more mercurial, and so they're going to ride the wave more and more because they're trying to establish themselves. This guy is one.
So I don't. I just think he's too moody to stay happy all season long, even if it's, you know, there's only 16 games left or whatever it is. I don't know if he's got it in him to stay on the happy side of things the whole way. I don't trust him. But do you? And furthermore, he just talks so damn much that I think he's going to talk himself into trouble, which I'm not saying he did last night, but I sort of read into this. He was asked after the game about the Clippers. He's asked about the Clippers, Jimmy. Do you have that cut just quickly here? Because the Clippers are on a nice little run and they've had success against the Celtics, so he's asked about it.
What do you make of this Clippers team? At the start of the season, they weren't counted as to be one of the teams to make it to the playoffs. Now they have a shot at potentially making the playoffs.
It is so easy to play for a guy that has been a player, a player in this league, and he's won a championship, and he's done unbelievable things in this league for his players while giving them confidence to go out there and be who they are. I mean, Lou signed an extension for a reason, and it's Doc. You know, it's just
he goes right to Doc. It's so easy to play for a guy that's been a player in this league. He's won a championship, and he's done unbelievable things in this league for his players while giving them the confidence to go out there and be who they are. And I just, you know, Stevens never played in this league. He hasn't won a championship. And I just wonder why Kyrie goes right there. Maybe he meant nothing by it. Maybe it was just coincidental. Maybe there was a reason for it or not. But he just talks so damn much that I think that he opens himself up for this. And are you telling me we're going to go the whole rest of the year where he's not going to open himself up for this and create more doubt or finger pointing or what's ever going on there in the locker room? Boy, he got it right in L.A. There's no question. That quote he gave to Yahoo, next level. Tremendous. Do you trust that to continue?
No. Okay. No, I don't know how you could. This guy's too up and down.
So that's our Kyrie thing. Real quick, we hit on the Russell Westbrook situation in Utah last night. We were all pretty much Team Westbrook here, and screw that fan with the camouflage hat and the tweet in October. This fan's been on Westbrook for a while. He tweeted in October after a game in Utah, Russell Westbrook needs to go back where he came from. Hashtag make America great again. So, you know, Westbrook said last night that the guy went racial. I don't know the comments that were reported, what were racial about him, but maybe he's got the right idea with this fan in Utah. What did the Jazz do about it today?
They have permanently banned the fan. Permanently. So I don't think he's allowed in the arena ever again. Ban is effective immediately and includes all arena events, according to a statement issued by the Jazz. And there's a quote in there from Steve Starks, the president of the team.
That said, did they lend any details to what they...
They said they conducted their own investigation that based on video review and eyewitness accounts, and that they have permanently banned them, which honestly, I give them a loud round of applause for. good for them. This guy's clearly an a-hole.
I'm reading from the press release here. The ban based on excessive and derogatory verbal abuse directed at a player during the game, violating the NBA code of conduct. Steve Starks, quote, everyone deserves the opportunity to enjoy and play the game in a safe, positive, and inclusive environment. And on it goes.
Good for them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Seriously, because again, like, you know, and Westbrook indicated he thought some of them were racially motivated.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if they're not. What, it's okay to sit there and just completely badger a guy and swear at him and whatever else during a game? Like, cheer, boo, all of that. You have every right to do that. Once it becomes personal, you're a jackass. Seriously, you're a jackass, and you're ruining my experience if I'm sitting in the next section over. Screw you. Get out of here. I want to actually enjoy the game. Like, guys like that. Oh, God.
The fan.
Yeah, that a-hole.
A loser. He's a pig. He gets what he deserves.
A loser.
Seriously, but those guys ruin it for everybody. Out. You're out. That's it. Get out.
Okay, there's your Kyrie Celtics NBA reset. We have all the free agency stuff, the Michael Bennett stuff on the board. Whatever you want, I promise. Your wonderful phone calls. The whole last hour, right after Murray's 90-second update here, no commercial.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.